If you would, look into your Bibles at Exodus chapter 6 in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus. It's Sunday, June the 28th, and we, as you know, are celebrating our 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, probably this week, and actually the day is, the 4th is on Saturday, right? Before we look in light of that at a familiar verse in the book of Psalms, I wanted to look in the Old Testament for a few minutes. In Exodus chapter 6 is where we're going to start. Everybody there? Exodus chapter 6, verse 2. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them. Covenant, I think you know, means like a contract, agreement. And he said, I established my covenant with them, referring back to starting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that covenant was to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, where they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, referring to those who are now in Egypt. And again, children of Israel, descendants of Israel. Jacob's name was originally Jacob. God changed it to Israel. So talking about the children of Israel, its bloodline starting with Abraham, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Verse 7, and I, God speaking, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you, speaking of children of Israel, in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for a heritage. I am the Lord. So God is honoring his promises, the covenant, and he is telling Moses to tell the people, you are going to go to the promised land. And I am your God. Go to the next book, Leviticus chapter 20. In Leviticus chapter 20, in verse 24. But I have said unto you, we're in Leviticus 20, 24. I have said unto you, this is to the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham. You shall inherit their land. And I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that flows with milk and honey. Obviously a figure of speech. You know, meaning it's all there for you. You know, when you get milk, you don't have to wait for the harvest to come up and then you harvest it. No, you just go to the cow and get it. To get honey, you just go to the hive and get it. It's just all there for you. A land that flows with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God. Look at this. Which have separated you from other people. So God took the descendants of Abraham, chose them, and said, you are separate from all other people. You belong to me. I am your God. And also look at chapter 25 of Leviticus. Chapter 25 and in verse 38. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt to give you the land of Canaan and to be your God. One more before we look at a familiar verse in the book of Psalms. Go to Numbers, next book. Go to Numbers chapter 15. This is a cool one. In Numbers 15, verse 41, God says, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. For what purpose? To be your God. I am the Lord your God. Three times God says that. Isn't that something? So now let's look at a verse that's very familiar in Psalm 33. And I think it's probably beneficial to look at this particular verse around this time of our celebration of our independence, when we're grateful to God to live in such a wonderful country. And this verse is familiar. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The only nation that I know of in the scriptures that is specifically singled out as belonging to God is Israel. And whether the people living in Israel today are direct descendants of Abraham, I don't know. We'll let God figure that out. But we know from just a little bit of what we've read that God did choose the descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel, to be their God. He delivered them from Egypt. He gave them that promised land. And he blessed them. He was the God of the nation of Israel. And as we read, they were separated out from all the other people. And all other nations of people, nations, countries, tribes, groups, everybody else was referred to as the nations, or many times the word we see in the scriptures is Gentiles. And Gentiles just means the nations. So you had children of Israel, the creator of the heavens and the earth, chose them to be their people. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then you had everybody else. But, and as you know, God had a secret that he never told anybody about. So go to Ephesians chapter 3. Lots about the secret that God had is revealed in the book of Ephesians. Also in other places, but lots in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3. And in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 3, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. The book of Ephesians is written to those who are born again of a Gentile background. It was originally sent to the city of Ephesus. It was not a Jewish city. It was out there in Asia. So when he says, for you Gentiles, he's referring back to their roots. If you have heard verse 2 of the dispensation, it's much better translated, administration of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he, God, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in or of the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Didn't know about it. It was a secret. It was the mystery. And then here it is, verse 6. This is the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. This was revolutionary. This was the biggest mic drop ever. Oh my goodness. Gentiles? All the other nations are now fellow heirs, heirs together with Israel of the same body. partakers of all the promises? This was a bit difficult for the people of Israel to accept. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts and some of the things in the church epistles, this caused a major problem. Some of them got to the point where they went, well, okay, but they got to be circumcised. They can't just have all this for free. They can't just, we're God's chosen people. How can they're? And if you're familiar with the Gospels, Jesus Christ said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when he sent out the 12 and the 70, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the people of Israel. The woman that came and said, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil, please help her. You know, at first Jesus Christ didn't say anything to her. And then he finally said, it's not right to give meat to the dogs. She said, well, okay, but I know dogs get to eat crumbs from the master's table. And he said, wow, great is your faith. And she was healed. But Jesus Christ's ministry was to Israel, children of Israel, descendants of Abraham. All right. So this was really hard for the Judean believers to accept. You know, there were Judeans that said, we're not believe that wasn't the Messiah. Jesus was a fake. He was a fraud. But the Judeans that did get saved and born again, then when they found out, yeah, Gentiles too, they're like, oh no, this can't be. Look back at chapter 2, where Paul was sharing more about the mystery and the Gentiles coming in. In chapter 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye, and this is you who had a background of being a Gentile, but now you're born again, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. The Messiah wasn't promised to the whole world. The Messiah was promised to Israel. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who also sometimes were far off are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. For he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, of two, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both, oh my goodness, both, Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. And then verse 18, for through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners. Remember what it said back in verse 12? You used to be aliens and strangers. Now, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Isn't that amazing? Both. Not a nation anymore, but part of the household of God, including the Gentiles. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Back up a book. Galatians 3. There is neither Jew nor Greek or Gentile. 3:28 of Galatians. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Makes no difference if you're a male or a female, Jew or a Gentile. It makes no difference. because it's now one body, or if you like, one group, one entity, God's people. Colossians 3, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians 3. God kept this secret. He knew all along what was going to take place. Had it all figured out. Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek, meaning Gentiles, nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You know that verse we read in Psalm 33, referring to Israel. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's good to think about that in light of us celebrating our independence, because it doesn't matter what country you belong to. What matters is, do you have Christ in? Are you born again? And it doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, bond or free. It doesn't matter. God's people are now all over the world, not confined to a geographic location, because it's Christ in you, Christ in you. We're all born again once. God chose the nation of Israel to be their God and to bless them. That was then. Today, God's blessings are on each and every person who's born again, no matter where they live. Look back at Ephesians again. Chapter 1, another familiar verse, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Who's the us? The born again ones, right? Us. God has blessed, he said he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You know, God referred to his people Israel as servants. That's the relationship they had with God. And God took very good care of his servants. We, born again ones, now are children of God by birth. Would God do any less for his children than he did for his servants? Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We just read, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And as we read the church epistles, we see about those spiritual blessings that we have, all the rights, the privileges, the abilities as born-again ones that we have from God. It says in Peter, exceeding great and precious promises that are to us. We have the hope of Christ's return. Remember what we read in Ephesians earlier? We were without hope. Nothing. And not only that, we have God's Spirit in us. The people of Israel, the nation of Israel, even though God says, I'm going to be your God, and he took care of them, they did not have the Spirit of God in them. How privileged we are. And that's why in Ephesians 4, verse 6, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Who's the all? All born-again believers. Every single one of us. God is in us. How is he in us? By way of the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And that means no matter what country you live in, God dwells in you. So, speaking of our 250th birthday of the United States, it's good to remember that in the first century, God's word moved all over the world in different situations of governments. The Roman government, the Greek government, other. It still moved into all parts of the world, regardless of the governments that were going on. And today, people all over the world are hearing the gospel. Some have the great freedom that we have. We could just come into a house, sit down, open the Bible, pray openly, study the scriptures. There's places you cannot do that without severe penalties. know, you can't do that in North Korea or Yemen and some of these other places. Can't do that in Iran. And I think I mentioned this before, a former IRG guy, you know, Iranian Revolutionary Guard that are running stuff, former one, converted to Christianity, working now in the country of Turkey right there at the border to help refugees. He said there is a huge underground church in Iran. They're praying that it can become above ground. So we have brothers and sisters all over the country, and God's word, the gospel's being preached. Some don't have the great freedoms that we have in this country, and we ought to be very thankful for that. And it's one of the things that, you know, around this time, well, ought to be every day, but especially this time of the year when we're celebrating our independence and our freedoms that we have, that we can do something like this. It's just a great blessing for us. In 1776, a new nation emerged. And then 11 years later, in 1787, the Constitution of the United States was enacted. The Constitution of the United States of America, single document, is the oldest and longest lasting national constitution in history. I had to look that one up. I'm like, wow. You can check it out. Single document. And regardless of what people may say, our beloved country was founded by many who had great respect and reverence for God Almighty, for the Bible, and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that's a part of why our country has been so blessed and endured for so long. Last month in Washington, D.C., you probably remember this, but it was on May the 17th. Many folks gathered there to celebrate the 250th anniversary of what the Second Continental Congress declared 2 months before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Second Congressional Congress set out the date of May 17th for something. And I wanted to play you a real short 3-minute clip. There were a lot of folks who were there. There was a lot of ceremony and praying. But I've got this clip. It's about 3 minutes. At that time, she was the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, Christian lady. But it's about 3 minutes on that day, May 17th, the 250th anniversary.
250 years ago today, on May 17th, 1776, the Second Continental Congress called for a day of humility, fasting, and prayer. Just weeks before they declared independence, our founders didn't stride forward in pride. They knelt. They asked for God's mercy. They asked for his guidance because they knew that the cause before them was beyond their own strength. Now today, exactly 250 years later, we gather here on the National Mall to do the same, to give thanks, to ask for forgiveness, and to humbly ask once more for God's mercy and guidance as we enter the next 250 years of this republic. Now, our founders knew their time was short. They knew that the road ahead was uncertain. But the foundation of our independence is our dependence upon the Supreme Soul, who's the Supreme Controller. Now, all of us and all of our leaders need to get on our knees and prostrate ourselves before the Supreme Lord, acknowledging that we are totally dependent upon him for our success, indeed, for our survival. Now, too often, leaders in this world have our eyes covered by pride born out of our relative power, fame, or authority. We lose sight of the fact that we are tiny and our time on this planet is extremely short. And yet we see ourselves as the controllers competing with each other over who is number one. But the truth is, there's only one number one, and that's God. Our leaders 250 years ago knew this. They knew that we could not rely on our own strength, our own fame, our own power, our own intelligence, but we're completely dependent upon God's favor. And so they humbly approached that day of fasting 250 years ago, asking God for his protection, his guidance, his mercy. We are at this time totally dependent upon God to light our path so that we can successfully navigate the troubled waters that we are in into a future where our children and their children and generations for hundreds and thousands of years can live in peace, freedom, and prosperity. So on this day, let us humble ourselves before God. Let us beg for his mercy and guidance. Let us be willing to forgive those who have offended us as we ask God to forgive us for our trespasses. And let us all today, in the privacy of our own homes and hearts, take shelter in God's love and remember him. Aloha.
That video is on the website on the most recent post called Independence. I believe that if our country is to survive, it's going to take prayer. And it's also going to take people's hearts turning to godly, biblical, and moral principles to make the change. And it's going to take God's grace and mercy. In 2 Thessalonians, you don't need to turn there. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." God would have us pray that his word could have free course, meaning that his word can get to those who are hungry, who want to know him. If that wasn't necessary, why would God put it in his word? And also in 2 Timothy 4, it says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." I'd like to close in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, all women." Pray, pray, pray. God tells us so many times in his word to pray. And make sure we include this, verse 2, "also for kings and for all that are in authority." Why? Why do we pray for those that are in positions of authority and responsibility? "That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And that's our freedoms that we have, to lead a quiet and peaceable life, to be able to move about and do whatever it is we want to do. And most importantly, that we have the freedom to speak God's word to people whenever we find those that have ears to hear and a hunger. Verse 3 says, "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, all women to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." God would like everybody to get saved. If a person doesn't know how to get saved, how could they get saved? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Remember that section in Romans? "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel." Well, how will they hear without a preacher? Well, how are they going to go unless they're sent? It takes someone speaking to someone to share the good news, the gospel. And then people can make up their own mind. "I don't believe that." Okay, I'm just the messenger. It's like Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. But we'd like to have a quiet and peaceable environment so that we can go about our own business, you know, without government or whatever taking away our rights and telling us what we can do and can't do, and that, you know, eventually get to the place where you'd have to meet in secret like they do in other countries. Missy and I were talking about this. I can't remember. I think it was North Korea. It's either North Korea or China, one of those, but I think it was North Korea. Christians don't share God's word with their children until their children get to be about 12, 13 years old. North Korea. The reason why is because when those kids go to school, the teacher goes, "You guys have any books like this at your house? Bible. Do your parents have a book like this?" "Oh, yeah." Tell the teacher, "Yes." And it's been documented. Kid comes home, parents are gone. So, you know, they wait till they are a little more mature and can understand the ramifications of it. How blessed we are in this country. Something really to be thankful for, that, you know, we can speak God's word to whoever we want to. And, you know, not that we're trying to push God's word down people's throat, make them believe. We're just looking for hungry people. We're not only looking for hungry people, but we're also looking for people that we can bless and love. You know, I'm sure you do too. I talk to people. I invite people to come to this fellowship. Whether they ever come or not is not, that's not my goal. See if we can pack this room to the point where we're sardines in here. My goal is to just share God's word with whoever wants to hear it. And so to have the freedom that we have in this country is something to be very thankful for. My prayer for my country is that people's hearts here in the U.S. would turn to God and recognize and understand from the Bible that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Savior for all of mankind. And my prayer is that we as Christians have open doors to proclaim the gospel to those that would want to know, and that we would all remember to continue to pray for those in positions of authority and leadership. And my prayer for those is that they get God's wisdom however God wants to get it to them. It'd be great if everybody in positions of leadership and authority in this country were born-again Christians, Bible-believing men and women. That'd be great. Ain't gonna happen. And in fact, it's kind of turning the other way. But that isn't going to stop God, and so we pray. Pray for those in authority that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life. Pray, 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 pray. And if God said to do that, then it must be helpful. And so I pray that they can get the wisdom that they need, because God's not out of business. So, Father, thanks for this wonderful time together with your people. Thank you, Father, for open doors that your word could have free course for people not only here in this country, but all over the world. Father, we pray that people that are hungry could hear and believe your word, get born again, and gain an understanding of your word. And not only an understanding of your word and the Lord Jesus Christ, but what he's made available for each and every person that's born again. Father, we pray for our country, especially at this celebration time of 250 years, because of your great grace and your mercy. Father, please help those that are in positions of responsibility and authority. And Father, I pray that they could get your wisdom in their decisions and actions, however you want to get it to them. And may you continue to provide your grace and mercy and bless the United States of America. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. On the website, confidenceandjoy.com. The video of Tulsi Gabbard is on there. There's also another video. I don't know if some of you know Mike Rowe. He's doing some kind of a series, but we saw this one. It's about 10 minutes long, but it's about a little history of the Star-Spangled Banner. So he just kind of narrates it, but it's a video, but it's really cool. I put it on the website and put on there some things you might not know about a song you know real well. So there's some really cool stuff there. So we'll be back here again next Sunday. And unless we're up in the clouds.